I'm going to let you come, and if you take that and just press and hold the red button on the bottom, it'll light up.
I'm not too good with technology.
Okay.
Where's the red button?
I'll grab it for you. Sorry, I'm trying not to handle a lot of stuff.
That's
but,
okay.
You know. Hang on.
Is that working? Okay. Oh, now it's working. Several months ago, I started to feel really depressed about what was going on in the world, about our government, about everything that was happening. So I spent a weekend down with my sister in Newark Valley. I have a sister, Lisa, and she and I share a great deal about the Lord. She and I are very close to each other. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, would you give me a sign? Would you give me something to encourage me by? So when I got home, I had to go to my house in Whitesville because we needed some roof work done. And while we were there and some of the guys were on the roof, a huge eagle came by and rested on the top of my pine tree in Whitesville and stood there for about 5 minutes. And I'd never before seen an eagle there. And one of the roofing guys even took a picture of it. He was up on the roof, and he took a picture of it. Well, ever since then, I've been asking the Lord. I said, please, I need to be encouraged. And he's been giving me dreams. And I've never had prophetic dreams before, never in my whole life. And all of a sudden, I started to have them. So I asked the Lord, and he was gracious to me, and he did that. So ever since then, the fear has left me. I know for sure that God is in charge, that everything that's going on in our country will turn out all right, and I'm just waiting for the day that everything is better, because I, no matter what people say, no matter what the news says, no matter what anybody says, I know that the Lord is in charge and that he's going to work things out. I don't know how he's going to do it. Could be a miracle, could happen in one day, could happen in a couple of months, I don't know, but I refuse to live in fear. So ever since then, it's been great. Thank you.
Is gone. Woo! Amen. Amen. There was somebody. Yeah, come on up.
So, I'm pregnant. Shocking, I know. But recently, like, none of my clothes have been fitting. And throughout the week, Miss Denise and Miss Shay, both without me asking, have brought me maternity clothes. And you would be surprised just how much of a better mood you're in when your clothes fit. And I hadn't even asked the Lord, just, and it brought me such a secure peace and safety, because even God knows what you need even before you come to him and ask him. And it was just phenomenal. Thank you,
and
guys.
Yay. Isn't the body of Christ wonderful? The wonderful, wonderful body of Christ. We've got time for one more. Anybody else have something you want to share? Going once, going twice. Sold. Well, I decided to do announcements today because there's a lot of them. Some of them are really exciting. Some of them not quite as exciting. Well, the best laid plans of Mice and Men, we had hoped to have the installation and ordination service for your pastor today. And Friday or Thursday. Thursday night, my principal calls. Well, somebody in a room that I was in went home sick, and their mom's, apparently somebody else, tested for COVID, and well, so it was possible. The school said my exposure was very minimal to, they didn't even quarantine me, they just, but they wanted to notify me, so I thought, well, gee, I'm going to call everybody up and say, hey, guess what? I might have been exposed, but you can still come to my installation service, I thought. And then, if we have a nice big service and people come and somebody goes home and gets sick, whether it was from here or not, well, we just don't need that hassle. So we have not canceled, but postponed to a date in probably a few weeks. I don't know. I have to speak with a number of people. kind of sort out dates. So it's not today, but it's still going to happen. And it's kind of the sort of thing where, you know, the couple sign the marriage certificate before this ceremony and they're already married, but then they have the ceremony. So, you know. Anyway, God is good. Men's Bible study this Monday evening, 6 to 8. We had a great study last week. Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 7 p.m. We had a great prayer meeting last Wednesday. It was awesome, and there was a real prophetic flow that happened. And God was good. So as I'm going to just try to provoke you to jealousy, if you don't get to Wednesday night prayer meeting, you're missing out. You are missing out. One of the most important meetings of the week. The Wellsville area is involved in something called Saturate USA, and it's a really exciting program that the Wellsville Ministerium has gotten involved in. And what it is it's an effort for our 14895 zip code to reach every home in that region. And all the churches in the area are working on that, and we've developed this lovely little packet of really cool stuff through Saturate USA. Everybody in our county at their home is going to get a copy of the Jesus movie on DVD. It's really cool. There's three movies. There's the Jesus film. There's a story about Mary Magdalene. And then there's Jesus through the eyes of children. And that's kind of a fun little video too. So there's three videos in there. Awesome. And if you've ever seen, and this is not the Passion of the Christ. Don't worry, nobody needs to be freaked out. The Passion of the Christ was a great movie, but I could only watch it once. this is the first Jesus movie. Very, very faithful to the Gospel of Luke. Excellent. You know how some of the Jesus movies go off into woo-hoo? Not this one. This stays very close to the scriptures. They're also in the packet is the Would You Like to Know God Personally? It's kind of the four spiritual laws, and it'll have information on churches in the area, and it will have our information, the Wellsville Full Gospel Church. And in faith, I have signed us up for a region. We are Region 4, and there's about 500 homes in Region 4 between now and the end of summer. And so I'm hoping that some of you will feel the evangelistic pull and be willing to go out and take these packets and knock on a door. We'll talk more about what that is because we're not really ready to start yet, but you go up, knock on the door. If someone comes, you give them the information. You get to share with them a little bit. If nobody comes to the door, you hang it on their doorknob, and they have a Jesus movie waiting for them. And the most important thing is you pray, lay hands and pray on this stuff and believe God to anoint it. I am so excited. The idea that everybody in our 14895 zip code, not area, what did I say, area code? Zip code is going to get a copy of the Jesus movie. God, use it. Just wonderful. At the end of August, we're going to have the Consortium of Churches, Mission Genesee Valley, is going to have a few nights of revival meetings. And that's going to happen out near York's Corners. There'll be lots more information to come about that. But it's going to be exciting and an opportunity to invite people where you know they're going to really hear the gospel. Oh, so really exciting. Sunday, April 25th, Potter's Hand Foundation is going to have an open meeting. It'll be at the Wellsville Bible Church. Potter's Hand Foundation is a group that works with people who have been sex trafficked and have been to get people out and to work with people who have been involved in that. And for a while, it didn't seem like maybe that was such a big problem in Allegheny County until we just had the young girl who just the day before people were about to abduct her, the police got them. Yes, thank you, Lord. But they had this girl's picture passport ready and a ticket, and they were going to take her off. And that was right here in our county. So it's a very important ministry. Potter's Hand Foundation is going to be Sunday, April 25th at 6 p.m. And God knows, something to pray over.
Where is that?
I'm sorry. It's going to be at the Wellsville Bible Church. That's right. Wellsville Bible Church, Sunday, April 25th, 6 o'clock. And we'll I did not get this stuff to Shay in time. My faithful secretary, it's not her fault, it's my fault. We'll be having 10, the Ministerium, or Mission Genesee Valley, is going to have 10 days of prayer in May. And I just want to alert you to it from May 14th through Sunday, May 23rd. And there'll be lots of different events. Actually, I'll read it. You're invited to join in a special season of prayer from May 14th to the 23rd. It begins and ends with two corporate prayer gatherings, 6:30 p.m. Friday, May 14th at the Wellsville Bible Church, and then 6 p.m. Sunday, May 23rd at the Wellsville Full Gospel Church. So we will be having the culminating prayer meeting here for that thrust for prayer. Fasting at some level is encouraged. Some churches may have regular prayer in their buildings during the 10 days. Some may choose to pray in small groups, in homes, prayer walks, via social media, individually. But we want to just know that we're kind of setting that aside in our region corporately to pray and believe God for revival. Believe God to break out and to do something amazing. It's going to be wonderful. Parker Jordan Christian School, I just continue to be amazed at what's happening with this thing. They have had a massive tuition cut. They were going to be $4,500 a student per year, which, if you know what it is paid in the public school, that's not a lot. They are going to cut their tuition to $2,500 a year per student. And what that does is that throws open the door for a whole lot more kids. Glory to God. Oh, just absolutely phenomenal. So I hope to have a representative from Parker Jordan come in the next few weeks who can kind of present a little bit more about the school. But please keep them in prayer. And in this day and age, this is a really important ministry. And I really want to get behind them on it. There's a community prayer meeting tonight. It's tonight at 6 p.m. at Brookside Wesleyan Church. 6 p.m. It's just open to the community. Anybody comes, prays, join with brothers and sisters praying for revival. And who doesn't want to pray for revival? If you don't want to pray for revival, come up. I'm going to pray for you right now. Oh, amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience with that. Okay, so this, yes. You may. Thank you.
Really loud. Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Okay. We are having a shower in 2 weeks at 1:30 for Shelby and Dakota, a baby shower I heard just now. And everyone in the church is invited. It is a couple shower. And I would, to help us know if we're setting up and for food, if people could let me know who is coming, that would be really appreciated. I unfortunately will not be here next week because I will be at my daughter's Shelly's baby shower in Ohio. So if you could give me a call, text, there is, Shelby has a Facebook page, but yeah. That would be great. So I hope to see you all there. And if you're looking for any gift ideas, she is registered at Amazon, or you can give me a call because I'm looking at something that I might want to go in with people on. So thank you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, and if you're here and you're not a member of the church, but you've been thinking about church membership, we're going to start our new members class in the next week or two. It's just a matter of coordinating what night we can get together. So if you're not a member and you'd like to be, this members class is not about processing you, or fitting you into a box. It's everything about how to have you find your place in the body, how to find your gifts, how to find your fit, and how to have you feel like you are planted and purposeful in the church. And that's what it's about. So if you're here and you think, gee, I'd like to be a member, come see me. We're going to start that up. Don't miss the chance. We don't offer these, typically we do it before the annual business meeting so that if you want to be able to vote, you can. And that meeting is going to come up early June. So now's the time. Make sure you see me today or call the church office or get in touch. We're going to start that very soon. Okay, Proverbs 24:27. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there. And Adam, you can start me up. There we go. Oh, Children's Church. I'm sorry. Any kids that would like to go to Children's Church, kindergarten through fifth grade or so, you are invited to have a fun time and a snack. All right. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. Father, we pray that you would bless your word today. Help us as we look into it. Father, give us your grace and your wisdom to see and to hear the voice of the Spirit as we receive from your word today. Father, come and speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, then, build your house. I never really paid much attention to that scripture before. I am really humming today. Is that this mic still on? No, it's not. I'm going to move a little to the side. I think you changed something. Okay, so Israel was an agricultural society, agrarian society. They lived from the land. When one settled in a place, they needed a place to live, and they needed the land to grow crops. And that was very important to their survival. However, the order that they did those things in was crucial. If they went and built their house so that their family would have a place, or if they built something nice to live in, then they risk missing their window to have that time to till their fields and plant their crops. So what that means is they now have a very lovely place to live and sit in while they starve to death, which is not anybody's idea of their dream life. So the word encourages us here that there is a correct priority to the things that we do. And there are many things that can be good and important, but there's a priority to your life that needs to be in line. And if things get out of that priority, then you got trouble. And if you look at our society right now, the society's priorities are turned upside down on their head, inside out and backwards. Another interpretation of this same scripture, similar, would be an admonition to Solomon writing these Proverbs, or whoever actually authored this particular one, an admonition to a young man to first begin his farming career, begin cultivating his land, settling his life before he takes a wife and begins to establish a home or build his family. So either way, there is an important step to be followed. And when you don't follow those steps for their time that they lived in, it was a matter of life and death. If you didn't get your fields ready, you're not going to eat. You're not going to have anything. You're going to starve to death. And in our current society, priority has taken a back seat to wants and desires. Everything is about our wants and desires. Instead of working and saving for the things that we want them now. I'm saying we, I'm saying our society, I'm not necessarily saying us, but there is that pull that we want it now, right now. And so instead of saving and working for it, what do? Plastic! I remember once I got an offer for a credit card and it said, the power of plastic. And I thought, are you kidding? The power of bondage is more like it. The scripture says the borrower is servant to the lender. And when you continually borrow, well, our country is in trouble. Our country has borrowed, and I don't know how you live on a deficit. World economy is so complex now that it's quite a thing, but it's a scary world that we live in. But along with interest in payments, which has our country just drowning in debt, it can be a bondage to a person's personal life when those priorities get, I'm not preaching that it's wrong. There are times I bought a house and I didn't have enough money for my house. I got a mortgage, so there was some debt, but I paid it off, and I don't make a practice of doing that. So I'm not legalistically telling you that, but I'm saying godly priorities are what we really need. So having a life that's properly prioritized is key to being successful in Christ. If you want to have a successful walk in the Lord, you're going to have to know what's first, what's second, what's third, what's fourth, and so on down the line. And there is a real and important order to all of that. So, priorities for the Christian life. Priorities, the way that things ought to line up so that we stay focused and alive in the Spirit. Number one, your relationship to Jesus Christ, the living God. And there is no greater priority than that. And that has to be number one. That has to stay on top. Anytime that wanders from the top, you're going to have trouble. Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in the heavens above, on the earth below, or in the waters beneath. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. When God gave this and the voice of God thundered out of the heavens, it was very distinct. You will not have any other gods but me. How many of you know we live in a land of idolatry here in America? It's become the land of idols, except you can't find them. You know, it's not like people go and run and worship a statue. Well, maybe some people do. Maybe some people do. But it's a lot of ideas. It's a lot of chasing after desires. People are worshiping all kinds of things other than our God. And in Matthew 22, 36 and 37, when they says, Teacher, which commandment is the greatest in the law? Jesus declared, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And notice it said love. It didn't say serve the Lord. It didn't say obey the Lord. It didn't say follow the Lord. It said love the Lord. Set your heart, set your affection on Him. Are you in love with Him today? I hope you are. I hope you're really in love with Him today. John 15:5 that we've spent so long looking at, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. The Lord really continually convicts me of this, that if I really believed that, I'd be on my face a lot more, seeking Him a lot more, if I really believed that I could do nothing. And sometimes the Lord lets me kind of dangle on things like, what am I going to preach this week, Lord? Then I find out just how dependent I really am on Him. Because everything we do, it's got to flow out of Him. Everything's got to come from Him. So, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when Jesus is speaking to the church at Ephesus, He said, I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. They were a busy church. They had all kinds of things happening. They were doing this. They were doing that. They were doing that other thing. They had all kinds of good things. But Jesus said, you've left me. I don't care if you're busy. You left me. So make sure that he's on the top. Don't lose your connection. It's a love connection. Last week I talked about my own personal time with the Lord, and I'll use myself as an example just because I know me best. I have to have it in the morning, and I would never put that on anybody and say, you have to have your time in the morning. Have your time. For me, if I don't get it in the morning, it just doesn't happen. But everybody has a different... I knew a pastor's wife, and she would get up and have her time with the Lord at midnight when her kids were in bed, her husband was in bed. She would get up at midnight and she would pray and read her Bible. You know what? That's cool if it works. Whatever works for you, but just make sure that you get it so that there's not the multitude of things that are going to distract you from that. Luke 10, 38 through 42, we had the story of Mary and Martha. And as they traveled along, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to His message. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations to be made. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord replied, you are worried and upset. Whoa, husbands, don't say that to your wives. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her. Both of these women were trying to serve Jesus in the way that each considered the most important. Was Martha trying to serve the Lord? She really was. She was busy working her little heart out in that kitchen to have a nice meal. And Mary was just sitting there listening to Him. Well, so she got miffed. Why do I have to do it all myself? Get in here. Sometimes people who are really gung-ho to work hard in the church, I've seen it in my own heart. You know, sometimes you do this and you do that, and then you look around and you're like, so-and-so isn't helping. Why don't they do that? Be careful. Be careful with that thought in your heart and in your mind. But remember that the most important thing was Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He said, this is the part that will not be taken from her. Last week we talked about Luke 5:11, I won't go there now, but it said that when Jesus called Peter, James, and John, it said that they pulled their boats up onto the shore, they put down their nets, and walked away. Done! Jesus called, and their priority was follow, and away they went. Now, in Luke 9, and this is a little different, and I'd like to actually read this, Luke 9, 57 through 63, it should be there. There we go. As they were walking along the road, someone just said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Then He said to another man, follow me. The man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus told him, let the dead bury their own dead. You, however, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me bid farewell to my family. Then Jesus declared, no one puts his hand to the plow and then looks back. No one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Three different people who had some really strange priorities. One of them said, I'll follow you wherever you go, Lord. I'll follow you. You know, Jesus said at one point, he had this great multitude of people following him, and he said, you're not following me because you want to hear what I teach. You want to follow me because you ate the loaves and the fishes. You just want more food. And this guy, he wants to follow Jesus. Well, there's a lot of prestige with following Jesus. Wow, you're one of the followers of Jesus? Wow. And Jesus said, well, you really want to follow me? I don't even have a home. I don't have any place to sleep. Ooh, not so prestigious anymore. He's gone. Then number two, Jesus says to another man, follow me. And the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Well, that seems reasonable. The guy's father died and he wants to bury him. Well, that's not what he meant. In Jewish culture, saying, let me bury my father means let me go home and stay with my father until he dies. We don't know how long that's going to be. Dad might live another 20 years. He's saying, well, I'll follow you, but first let me stay with my dad. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You go, however, and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me bid farewell to my family. Goodbye, everyone. And another big protracted thing. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Were all of these things, any of these things really bad? Is it bad to want to stay with your dad? Give him a good... No. Is it wrong to say goodbye to your family? All of those things weren't bad, but they weren't the priority that God wanted for them at that time. And as far as we know, none of them accepted Jesus' offer of discipleship. None of them. We don't hear that any of them followed on. Luke 14, 26 and 27 says, you know, you can't, if you love your, he who loves his father or mother more than me, or his wife or children or brothers and sisters more than God, more than me, is not fit to be my disciple. Is it wrong to love your father and mother? Of course not. Is it wrong to love your wife, your children, all of those things? Of course not. But we're talking about godly priority, and that has to be at the top. Everything is going to flow out of that. Do what you need to do to keep him first, and everything else flows out of that. Number two, there it is. Number two, your spouse and your family. Now, if you're single here, hang on. Hang on, single people. Your spouse and your family. So, before there were leaders, before there were governments, before there were churches or any other organization, God created man and woman. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Did you get that? Male and female. Oh, look, there's only two. One, two. Not three or four or five. God created man. God created woman. In his own image. That means God decides. God decides. I didn't decide I was a man. God decided that. And I'm going to hang on to that, folks. No matter who comes through that door or what they say to us, we have to hang on to that truth and stand for it. And this is a representation of Christ and his church, the marriage relationship. And then he told them, be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1. And so all of that is showing us that the second and most important thing, the second priority, is the family. Is it under any wonder why the family is so incredibly under attack now? My goodness, it's just marriage is under attack. Human sexuality is under attack. The thing that God had intended to be precious between a man and a woman is under attack. It's Hollywood has totally smeared it, perverted it. It's just everything to tear down the concept and the order of the family, because if you can destroy the family, you can destroy an entire culture. You destroy the family, you destroy an entire culture. I was telling our men's group last Monday night, I was in school one day, and this sweet little kindergarten girl comes walking down the hall. And she was just crying her heart out, crying, crying, crying. And I looked at her. I happened to be in the hall, and I went up to her, and I felt so bad. I said, honey, what's wrong? I kind of bent over and put my hand on her, and I said, what's the matter? And she could hardly get it out. She's just sobbing. And she said, my daddy left us last night. And I said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. And then, what do you say to this poor child? And she just went south. I walked with her down to her classroom, and I said, I'm so sorry. We'll try to help you, you know, but do you see? We're made for families. Children need a father and a mother. Yeah, has a ministry to Asian families. And over there, there is no commitment from the father whatsoever. They have children and they're gone. And so he has become a father to all these young men over there. Just incredible. Such a great need. They don't know how to be men. Is it any wonder why in our society we have boys thinking that maybe they're girls and girls thinking that maybe they're boys because their family is so messed up? Some of them don't have a dad. The boys don't have any idea what it means to be a man because they don't have a man in their family. The girls, they don't understand what it's like. They have no father or no mother. Things are just blown out. And so we have people wondering who they are. It's because the family is just unraveling before us. God help us. We're reaping the rewards right now of living out of priority, where divorce is rampant, where adultery is rampant, where people put their career and their life ahead of their family, and their children suffer for it. God help us. The good news is, if you're part of a family and your family is broken, God can help you. God can help you. I can't guarantee you that everything about your family will be restored, but God can help you. Oh, you don't know my family. Well, I do know that if you make your family problems bigger than God, then you have an idol. And we have to believe that God is able to do what he has promised in your family. If you're single, I don't want to be insensitive if we have singles in the room today. And you're like, our society has taught us that being single is bad. Oh, you're alone. You don't want to be alone. You need to be married. Oh, if you're not married, you're some kind of a social pariah. You're a cast off. Oh, you never got married. The scripture says it's an honor. 1 Corinthians 7 says, did I have that one? I think I did. Yeah, I want you to be free from concern. The unmarried man is concerned about the work of the Lord, how he can please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. Married men all say amen. That is very true. And his interests are divided. And then it goes on to say a married woman is interested in the needs of her husband. An unmarried woman can devote herself entirely to the Lord. And if you are called and you're single, God bless you. It may seem like a heartache if you have a longing and a desire to have a family, but God can use you in a wonderful way as you commit yourself to Him. And then if He has plans for something else on down the line, God can do that as well. But we all have a mom and a dad. And we all have relatives and we all have family, and it's very, very important. And it is a priority. Now, when family gets out of sync with God and suddenly family becomes more important, then all of a sudden we start running into family problems. Then things get out of whack because God has taken a back seat. Then kids suddenly are not hearing what they need to hear of the gospel. Then husbands and wives are not living in sync with the heart of God, and they begin to have trouble. You can see where having God on top doesn't mean He's the first thing that you do every day. It means that He influences all the rest. It's not a laundry list that I'm giving you. Step one, God. Step two, kiss wife. Step three, pat children on head. You know, that's not what we're getting at. It's the prioritization and being sure that God is over all of those things. Really, really important. Number three, your job. Number three. And the reason I put your job ahead of what you might consider maybe your involvement even in your church or your ministry, we'll talk about it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even while we were with you, we gave you this command. If no one is willing to work, if anyone is unwilling to work, he shall not eat. You don't work, you don't eat. You don't eat, you're dead. You don't work, you're dead. Step A, step B, step C. So what that says is work is sacred. God made us to work. He put Adam in the garden and he said, okay, now everything will just automatically take care of itself and you can enjoy it. No, he said, tend it, take care of it, work with it. And that is a very important component. And so your job is very, very important in your scale of priority. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Ouch. Ow. So there's something very important there. In other words, working and supporting your family is an offering to God. It shows that you're a believer. Titus 3:14, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not to live unproductive lives. Wow. In this day and age, how great is the power of a testimony of a faithful and diligent employee? It's tremendous. It's tremendous, especially in light of our society. In your job, if you are a faithful, honest, hardworking Christian employee, your light's going to shine in the darkness. How many of you have experienced that? You know it's true because it's not that way with everybody. It's very important. And we live in a world that says, everyone owes it to me. I'm owed a living. Give it to me. I deserve this. And a Christian who goes to work and says, no, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to give of myself to people. Ooh, that really goes counterculture. But it's so incredibly important. Jesus said the greater one is the one who serves. And along with that, can I say the scripture, Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. So there's not only the idea of working, but stewardship. And, you know, we can believe God to provide for us, and but he doesn't give us millions of dollars and say, there you go, I've provided for you. You'll be okay now. No, what he does is he provides, give us this day our daily bread. You know, he provides for us, but then he expects us to be a good steward of the things that we have and to use them wisely and not frivolously. That's why when you give to the church, God help us to be good stewards of those funds, that they're being always channeled in a way that exhibits good stewardship and knowing that God expects that from us. But work is sacred. Again, Proverbs 24:27, prepare your fields before your house. Do the work. And that job is really priority number three. But what happens when priority three gets ahead of priority two? Uh-oh. Then all of a sudden your job is more important than your family. Then you're working late hours. Your kids don't see you anymore. You come home and your wife is mad at you. Or you're just too tired to do it, the things that you should be able to do because you're out of sync. God, family, and then your job. Then your job. And it's important that those things stay in that order. And today, we have career people who are very proud of their careers and letting their kids go right down the chute. They don't even know where their kids are. I work at school. You work at school. You see it. You know, it's true. And it's sad to watch people sacrifice their children on the altar to Baal. Can I say it like that? It's what they're doing. It's the same thing. It's just a different kind of idol. Oh, great God of career, may I make lots of money. May I be advanced. Here, take my wife and my children. I don't need them. I need career. Sounds horrible, but that's what's happening in our world today. It's terrible. But not if we stay in right priority. Number four. Go ahead, Adam. Click. Your ministry. Wait. Shouldn't that be number two? Number three? Number four, my ministry. Yep. Number four. Very, very important. Titus 1:6. It says an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Well, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody is not expected to have perfect children. But what is one of the big qualifications of being a leader in the church? You're working with your family. This component up here has to be working if you're gonna be here. Your family can't be falling apart and you're serving in the church. It just doesn't work that way. Now, does that mean you can never have any family problems? Well, everybody has issues. But the priority is you want to lead, you want to be spiritual, you want to walk, you want to have God use you in the power of the Spirit. Well, let's get the priority right here. Let's make sure your family's in order. Let's do the right thing. Let's keep that up at the head. The important thing to remember is if you are a believer, you do have a ministry. You have a ministry. And that's a big deal. That really challenges the traditional idea of ministry. And then there's the terms clergy and laity. Can I officially tell you, I hate those titles. I hate them. It came out of like the medieval period where they got the idea that the clergy knew everything and the laity, the people, were Well, I mean, most of them were illiterate back then. You can't read, so you don't know anything. So we will tell you, and you will listen, because we are smart, and you are stupid. And that became the mindset. The clergy knew, and they taught the people. And then we ended up with this whole model in our society where there's a church, a group of people, and they hire a pastor. And there he is, and the pastor does the ministry. And the people come, and they get taught, and he does all the stuff. That is not scriptural at all. That is not scriptural at all. Ephesians 4:11, and it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to do all the work of the ministry. Not. It says to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. My job is not to do the ministering. It's to train you and then send you out. Boom. You have a ministry. You can expect God to speak to you. You can expect to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You can speak the word of the Lord to somebody. I don't know how God chooses to use you, but he wants to use you. The ministers in this church are us. It's us. I will never, ever, ever, ever be a pastor-centric ministry, ever. The world does not revolve around me. I do not have to be the one to lay hands and pray on everyone, pray over everyone. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to do it today because, you know, whoa, you were near COVID. I'll let other people pray today. COVID. I don't mean to make light of it. I don't mean to make light of it, but, you know, sometimes it just seems like it goes a step too far. You are a saint. And that means you are to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Some of you have an evangelistic gift, and you can talk to people about Christ, and they get interested, and they want to get saved. Some of you have a gift of mercy. Some of you have a gift of helps. Some of you have, I mean, there's all kinds of gifts. We talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit, but there's so many gifts in the body of Christ. That's one of the things we're going to be doing in our members class. We're going to talk about what are your gifts and how can God use you and plug you in? What can you do? So another quick little plug for membership class if you're interested. Brother Dave, I'm already a member, but I didn't really ever get... I have one person come and say, I'm a member, but I've never been part of a membership class. I'd like to find out what it is. If you want to, you can come. I don't care. If you're already a member and you want feel like this would be cool, come talk to me. That would be great. But God wants to use you. And 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone. Not every pastor gets it, nobody else. Everyone for the profit of all. And then in verse 11, he distributes those gifts to everyone just as he sees fit. So the church is full of ministry. Colossians 4:17 says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord that you fulfill it. So what you should do is go into your Bible and cross out the name Archippus and write your own name in there. Say to David, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord that you fulfill it. And I would say that to you. And my job is to help you find out what God is stirring up in you and help stir it up in you and then turn you loose. And let God go. Let's see what God's going to do. Glory to God. But that ministry has to find its place in proper priority. And when ministry gets up above other things, then you get people that get burned out. And you know, when you get burned out, you know, when you hard boil an egg, how do you unhard boil it? Have you ever tried to unhard boil an egg? It's like you don't want to get there. You don't want to get there. Make sure that your life is in proper priority. And all of these priorities we've talked about, God, family, job, ministry, they're all fluid all day long in your life. There's a fluidity to them, but only in the sense of your focus, not in the sense of priority. When I'm at work, I'm not teaching children music and you know, praying over them, or you know, I'm not calling my wife on the phone. I'm not having my devotion. Can you see that your attention throughout the day is going to move? But your priorities will influence how all of that gets affected. And if God's on the top, then I can go to work and I can be kind to those children that I'm teaching. And when God's not on top, if you find out right away, because I can turn into a crabby, grumpy teacher that starts yelling at kids. And it happens. Have you experienced that? When you get out of your, and all of a sudden, you're just not a really nice person to be around anymore. Well, that happens because something's gotten out of whack here. Help us, Lord, to be lined up. Line up, man. God, family, job, ministry. And when we do that, I'll treat my wife and my kids the way God wants me to when it's on top. My job can provide for my family or it can kill it, depending on my priorities. People in ministry and in jobs can experience that burnout when things are not in the right place on top. So God help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know how to walk with our lives lined up in the right way. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would help us today as we, Lord, even as we have just a moment here to think about this and see where are our lives lined up. And Father, as we see other people whose lives are really in many ways shipwrecked and they need this message, that they need their life to get ordered according to God's pattern, and there's such good safety there. Father, we pray that you would help us today to have our lives lined up, and then that we would be able to be a lifeline to other people who are desperately in need of having their life lined up and in order so that they can live and thrive spiritually. And Lord, send us to people that have that need, we pray. Help us to lead them to Christ, who can get their lives back on track, get all of their wheels on the right track there so that they can stay and not wreck, Father. We thank you for your grace and your help with that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you want prayer, we invite you to come up. As a Full Gospel Church, we believe in healing. If you have a physical need, if you have a spiritual need, if you have anything that you want and you want prayer, please do not leave today before you receive everything that God wants to do. So if you have a prayer need, please feel free to come up now and someone will pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. Have an awesome week in the Lord. We love you. Thank you for coming.